I was there among the stars, and the stars were dying for day. How he landed on the mountain, far across the ground of me.
This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let us pray. Our Father, how good and how gracious Thou art unto us, that Thou hast given us the living Word, the Lord Jesus, the written Word, Thy holy Bible, that we may know Thy mind, and to know Thy will, and to know where we're going, and the reason Thou didst make us, to glorify Thee, and to find out that Thou art the Creator of all things, and Thou didst so love us that You sent Your only begotten and unique Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us, that You may have mercy upon us, and love to our souls deliver us from the pit of corruption, that You may cast all of our sins behind Your back. Praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness toward us in Christ. Oh, that Thou wilt work in our hearts and in our midst, and Thou wilt send revival and deal with precious souls, even in this hour, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land.
in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty.
Say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. How our living God has been faithful unto us, day by day, to keep us in these hours. For He's promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us, and for this I give Him thanks. He's a precious Lord. Oh, how merciful He is toward us, day by day. His mercies are new every morning, because great is His faithfulness unto His people. Dear friend, I've found Him to be so. We're happy that you're with us. Have you written for your free book that we're offering this month entitled A Call to Holiness by J.C. Ryle? It is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. 7 chapters. He goes in and shows what the holiness that God requires of us, how it is scripturally and biblically set forth. And truly, every one of God's children should want to know what God requires of him. And this little book sets it forth, verse by verse, scripture by scripture. Truly, it is a call to holiness. And where God desires us, in fact, He has saved us to walk. You want to put this book in your hands, free and postpaid, if you'll write us. Ask for it by name, A Call to Holiness. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear friends, as you know, for the past weeks, we have been studying with you from God's holy word what the scriptures teach concerning decision for Christ and what it means. I would like to continue on this subject of decision today and give a few messages on the warnings from God's word about Christian profession, contrasting the genuine and the false, and thereby opening up further what it means to decide for Christ. Will you listen? Did you know that we are living in a day when mere lip profession is taken for salvation, and the majority of professing Christians never test their so-called Christian life by the searching Word of God, and yet we are told to do so? They know nothing of the work of the Holy Spirit in His work of conviction, much less the holy happiness which God's people enjoy here on earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having a mere lip profession, they know nothing of the reality of sin, the reality of a holy, sin-hating God, the reality of his demands of repentance and faith, and nothing of the blessed reality of the person work of the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, the eternal fact that God requires more from us than mere lip profession based upon just a mental decision to some biblical truths is taught clearly in God's Word. And it should cause us to search our hearts to determine if we are truly in Christ and Christ be in us, and if we have builded upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that again. Dear friend, the eternal fact that God requires more from us than just lip profession, based upon a mental decision to some biblical truths, is taught clearly in God's Word and should cause us to search our hearts to determine if we are truly in Christ. Listen to Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My dear friend, this to me is very searching. And indeed, our Lord intended it to be searching. For our Lord tells us here, in fact, he warns us here, that a man can go so far as acknowledging Christ as teacher and master, even owning him as the Son of God, the only Savior of sinners, and still be lost. Also, men and women may go so far as to openly and daily profess Christ as Lord and still be under the wrath of God. My dear friend, this is searching to my soul. Is it to yours? Yes, Christ here declares at a mere verbal acknowledgement of the truth concerning his person, or a lip profession that we are his disciples does not open the way to the enjoyment of his blessings now and in heaven, unless it is proved to be the result of true repentance and sound conversion. And unless it be accompanied by the inward and outward desire and practice of doing the will of the Father, we could yet hear him say in that last day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Oh, what solemn words are these. What words of warning. Surely we should let the Word of God search us out and make our call and election sure. Or as 2 Corinthians 13:5 puts it, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. So let us go further and see if we can describe for you the different types of professors, thereby clearly showing the meaning of the decision for Christ. May the Holy Spirit show us what class we're in. And I pray that as we discuss briefly today these four classes of professors, may you pray and may I pray that God will take his word home to our hearts. But my friend, I do not want to be deceived. Do you? And yet we are living in a day when millions upon millions are deceived. It will not take time to search out the Word of God to see if truly they have made a genuine profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you listen? First of all, there are those who are simply nominal Christians. They bear the name of Christians and that is all. They happen to have been born in a country where Christianity is the prevailing religion and where it is regarded as a mark of respectability to give some recognition and assent to Christianity. Perhaps a few drops of water were sprinkled upon them in infancy by some preacher, and possibly they received some kind of instruction in religion during the days of their childhood, and they made a profession of faith because they were brought up in a so-called Christian home, because this was the thing to do, to make a decision, to go down to the front and give the preacher your hand, because they had reached that age in their adolescence or childhood or teenage when it was the normal thing to do, and that was to make a decision, a profession for Christ. But after reaching maturity, except for an occasional visit to a church, probably at Christmas or Easter, that is as far as it goes. Yet if you would ask them, they would be quick to tell you that they are Christians and are quite sure that if anybody else goes to heaven, they also will be among that number. But yet they know nothing of heartfelt repentance. They know nothing of saving faith. They know nothing of the preciousness of Christ. They know nothing of what it means to pray or to walk in a spiritual life governed by the Holy Spirit. They're indeed dead spiritually, while yet they live physically. My dear friend, if you're in this class and you never turn to God in repentance and to Christ in true saving faith, you will yet be lost throughout eternity in that place of everlasting suffering and woe, and that is in hell itself. Are you listening? And I do believe those that come under this same class are those that call themselves carnal Christians, and they too are deceived. For there's no such thing in the Word of God as a carnal Christian. You see, that means that they would be fleshly Christians, for the word carnal means fleshly. And the Word of God very definitely tells us in Romans 8 that if we walk after the flesh, we shall die. It is only as we walk after the Spirit and in the Spirit that we shall live. You see, we are not saved if we are walking in the flesh. That's what Romans 8 teaches, those first 9 verses. Read it. Look at it. It's not a comparison between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. Oh, no. There's no such distinction made in the Word of God. Are you listening to me? There is never a distinction made in the Word of God between a fleshly Christian and a spiritual Christian. A distinction is always made between an unbeliever and a believer. A child of God and a child of the devil. And a man who is walking after the flesh is truly a child of the devil. He's not saved. You see, I hear of testimonies of individuals who have made a profession when they were 12 or 15 or 18 or 20. Then tell how they fell away from this after 6 or 8 months and went off into sin. Then after 5 or 10 years of living for the devil, they come back and rededicate their lives and go into Christian service, and they profess that they've been saved all the while. But now, my friend, no such thing is taught in God's Word. You are deceived. You see, when God saves you, He breaks the power of sin in your life. He gives you a hatred for sin. You can't wallow like a hog in it anymore, for you are truly God's sheep. He made you His sheep. You see, your nature has changed, and you love the things of the Lord. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian. That's a misnomer. That's a dead man who loves sin and loves the world, and whose heart has never fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is dead while he lives. So we see then that a nominal Christian or a carnal Christian has truly not made a genuine decision for Christ. But let us go further. The Word of God speaks of formal professors. This class is made up of those who regard themselves much more advanced than the nominal or carnal professors. They are able to repeat some catechism, or at least give a fairly intelligent account of both the doctrine and laws of Christ. They claim submissiveness to the authority of the Lord Jesus. They observe all the outward acts of worship which characterize His followers, but they know nothing of the blessedness of communion with the Lord, nor is His joy their strength. Their religion is but a mental assent to certain truths and facts from God's Word. They just go through the external observances. Surely they have followed the basic 4 steps, as it is so simply put, but they have no spiritual life abiding in them. They are strangers to experiential salvation. They know nothing of the reality of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Him, they are just as much doomed for hell as the nominal professors are. They are yet in their sins, like the carnal professors. And truly they are those described in Ezekiel 33:31, where we have these words, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." And all my heart bleeds and goes out to those who have done all that a personal soul winner or a preacher has told them to do. Just believe in these four basic steps and all is well. They do this. And then they are supposed to have spiritual life. They get caught up in a round of witnessing, church-going, singing. They get caught up in all of the social life of the church, but inwardly there is that void. Inwardly there is that depression. Inwardly there is no reality. They know it all, but they are strangers to experiential salvation. So we see again that a former professor has truly not made a genuine saving decision for Christ. Then there are those who are deceived professors. As Proverbs 30:12 puts it, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Those in this class of deceived professors pity those who are in the class of the former professors. They have no reliance upon infant sprinkling, for they have been taught that. They place no reliance upon the soundest creed, but pride themselves upon an intelligent understanding of the Word of God. They are quite sure that Christ died for them and that they have accepted Him as their own personal Savior. And you can't shake their assurance. When you question them about God's way of salvation, being born again by the Spirit of God, they will tell you all is well. Yet they do not have a new nature. They have not been made new creatures in Christ. Meekness and lowliness are not in their character. They know nothing about forbearing one another and forgiving one another for Christ's sake. They are strangers to the fruit of the Spirit, and practical godliness is missing from their daily lives. Listen to me now. Deceived professors are strangers to the person and work of the Holy Spirit in His convicting work in their hearts. They are like the stony ground here is in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, where our Lord said, "But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended and falls by the wayside." There's no depth, no breaking up of the heart, no plowing of the soul to make them see their lost condition before God. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth that they are lost sinners, according to 2 Timothy 3:7. My friend, are you in this class? Truly, they have missed Holy Spirit conviction, so they have missed Christ. They have no reality of Christ. They can get assurance briefly from the Word, but no lasting peace, because they do not know the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many I find today who are truly in this class of deceived professors, even among those who confess that they believe in the doctrines of grace and stand for true evangelical preaching and teaching. Oh, they're against the Arminians and the free willers. But they themselves have a salvation of their own choice and their own making and of their own decision, yet never known what it means to lay prostrate before God as a helpless, lost sinner. And my dear friend, I'm not critical. I'm only stating the facts that it is. You see, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there, a deceived professor. I know what it means to have tried to believe that Christ was real and precious to my soul and to my brain burned. I know what it means to have tried to give myself assurance when there was no work of God's grace in my heart. I know what it means to have been deceived by the God of this world and by my own deceitful heart, having made profession after profession, but yet had not life. But by the grace I know of God, I know what it means to lie at the feet of my holy God as a poor, lost sinner, with no hope but that he would be merciful to me in Christ. I praise him that by his Spirit he opened my heart to see myself deceived in the darkness of sin, held captive by Satan and needing the power of his Spirit to save me and the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse me. I praise him today for not letting me stop short and rest short of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, my dear friend, and I praise the Lord for it, there is indeed the genuine professor. He is the one who possesses the life of Christ. For you see, his decision is genuine because true saving faith has been given to him by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who knows and owns his sinnership before God. He is the one who knows and owns his far distance from a holy God. He is the one who knows and owns his need for another's righteousness for him to get to heaven. He is the one who owns and knows his helplessness before God. He is the one who is not satisfied with the profession. He knows in his heart that he has passed from death into life. He knows and has that living faith that the Word of God speaks about. You see, he cannot be satisfied with just a mental acceptance of the truth. He must have the law of God written upon his heart by the Holy Spirit. His cries, Lord, say unto my soul that thou art my salvation. He must have Christ in reality revealed by faith to him, or he's not satisfied. Another mark of the genuine professor is that he desires to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. You see, the will of the Father is that we should forsake our sins. And the genuine professor cries, that's what I desire to do. The will of the Father is that he should trust his Son. And the genuine professor cries, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is my heart's desire. The will of the Father is for us to take the yoke of Christ upon us and follow him all the days of our life. And the genuine professor cries, here I am, Lord. Yoke me to these, so I can follow thee the way. The will of the Father is for us to repent, and the genuine professor cries, Lord, give me repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Yes, the desire of the genuine professor is to follow Christ fully, henceforth, now, and forever. Therefore, we can truthfully say that we do the will of the Father, and that the will of the Father means that I have surrendered my heart and my will to the claims of Christ, that I can do truly so I can truly desire for him to reign over me and to order my life. It means that I have subjected myself to his authority and that it is the prevailing bent of my mind and constant endeavor of my soul to please him in all things. It means that I generally aim to be both internally and externally conformed to the holy image of my Lord Jesus Christ. And it is my greatest grief when I do those things which displease him. It means that I truly seek that my thoughts, my affections, and my actions be regulated by his precepts and commandments. It is not a sinless obedience, but a sincere one. It is not a forced one, but is one that's prompted by love. And this, dear friend, is what it means to make a saving decision for Christ. Have you been with us? Have you listened to us? I trust that you have, and that you will write us for a copy of these messages. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.